Welcome back to the Layman's Law School. We're two hillbilly lawyers. Demystify the law, talk about the issues of the day, and have a drink or two on a Friday.
Got to.
Welcome back,
Reed. Hard week again.
Yeah.
We did excellent work again, and we're here to, like you say, try to... You'll give the expertise, and I'll kind of give the hillbilly version of it. How about that?
Well, I don't think you really have a choice about that.
Yeah, exactly. That's just kind of my go-to. So,
all right. Well, like I said, this is Friday, and so we always have a libation or a beverage to celebrate. What have you bought for us today, Reed?
Well, I'm a little disappointed in myself today. This is not what I like to have. I mean, this doesn't keep... the freshness. I mean, it says thank you on it. See, but it's a clear bag. You have to keep it in a dark bag because it is getting springtime and summertime. You got to keep them cool.
Wait, I know, but I have heard there are two camps. Okay, there's a white bag and a black bag camp. Well, okay, and anything after 2005,
white bag camp's wrong.
Okay,
I'm telling you, you gotta. I mean, if you
it's got to be a dark bag.
Yeah, it's got to be a dark bag. Okay.
But what anyway, year is this?
This, I mean, it's a 2005.
Okay.
You know, it's not the best, yeah. But it's still one of the, I'd say, top 10.
It's still a Bud Light.
It's a top 10 Bud Light.
Mm. Ooh.
You can hear it. Mm-hmm. Now, it's gonna be a little bit hoppier than you're used to. Yeah. The five, that they didn't thin it out as much, but this one's still nice. Ooh. You know, but I'm saving a couple for anniversary type podcasts that are really special. This, you know, this is a good podcast today, but I mean, I don't want to, you know, get the big guns out.
Okay. Well, you know, Reed actually has a pretty good story about why he drinks these.
Do I?
Yeah.
Do
that
I?
That we want to share. We want to share on a podcast. Isn't this one of the most manly things you can do?
Well, I mean, you know, it is, Chase.
Okay.
Because essentially, IPAs and all that jazz is pumpkin spice lattes for men. Let's be honest. And so this is the everyday common man drink.
Right.
And if you can't drink swill, then you got to go back to the drawing board.
Okay. So if you're drinking those lattes, those pumpkin
spice
you might
lattes.
As well identify as like transgender.
Well, you can identify however you want to.
At
we
that
know
point.
That in this day okay. and age. Okay. But this, if you drink a Bud Light and you don't complain, you just grab a Bud Light out of the gas station. Yeah, I mean, that's just a manly man thing to do.
All right, understood.
So, I mean, yeah.
Understood. Well, I have brought my manly man thing into the studio today in juxtaposition to your Bud Light. This right here. Is the finest scotch known to man, made on the planet, according to Ron Swanson. He's one of my favorite television personalities.
He is a connoisseur, so I would take him at his word.
This is Lagavulin in 16. If you like smoky scotches, this is the one for you. And this is actually the one that, it's quite expensive. My wife, this bottle, bought this bottle for me the day that I I took the bar exam, and it was the last day. And in South Carolina, it is a 3-day test.
Oh, yeah.
6 hours a day of straight testing. And I drank
most of that
day.
Yeah. I got a good bar story for you.
But this is the rest.
To take my bar exam.
I got to pour some for D'Angelo in
there. D'Angelo needs a little sip.
There you go. You got to get a little.
My bar exam, I went into it, you know, not feeling great because I immediately locked my keys in my car right before the test. So for day one. So there you go.
Nice.
Yeah. Am I supposed to sip this or, you know, I'm not a refined gentleman like yourself.
Oh, you can do it however you want. All but right. You want to smell it first. Nose it.
Nose it.
Take in all the notes and then just drink it now.
Oh, yeah.
To Supreme Court precedent.
Cheers.
All right. So, a lot going on in the law, in the news.
As always.
That's right. But it has, there have been some headlines, some viral things going on, as well as some sort of landmark decisions that have come out. We're going to start out today talking about the leaked information about the Supreme Court decision and to overturn Roe v. Wade. Reed, what have you heard about this?
Not a lot, Chase. Not a lot. You know, I try to keep my foot on the pedal for what we do. Right. But I, you know, I know that it's being overturned and that I assume that abortions will be illegal. And the federal, that does not mean state, so states can decide whichever they would like. And I don't know if it's not necessarily illegal. It's just not approved or not allowed by the federal government.
Well, it's not a protected right anymore. Right. And so just to sort of unpack this a little bit, the reasoning and the logic behind this basically highlights a split in the way in which justices interpret text and interpret actual statutes. And that's really where the rub in this whole thing occurs, because if you
well, that's every case. You know what I mean? And maybe, you know, a lot of viewers don't understand that, is that the Supreme Court isn't really making law. They're interpreting law.
That's right.
So if the biggest issue is Senate and Congress, they make the law.
That's right.
And then the Supreme Court says, okay, well, this is what y'all said, and this is how we need to interpret it.
That's right.
So, and I think that's a confusion in the general population.
Yeah, a huge confusion, because what happened was we wrote the Constitution, and they made a certain number of amendments. And within that Constitution, what it did is it actually framed out the boundaries within which Congress can actually sort of write laws and infringe upon rights of everyday citizens. And so that's why you have the right to protect, you know, you protect against illegal search and seizure, questioning without a lawyer, you know.
Search and seizure is a good example.
Yeah, yeah.
So for an example, you can have a case that is fact specific with search and seizure, and it goes to the Supreme Court, and they make a decision on that. That doesn't reverse the law. It just narrows the issue. And so that, I think that that's a lot of confusion on the general population. Like if there's no law against or for abortion.
Right.
And it's just, it's fact specific. Roe v. Wade is the one that everybody knows. And so now they're not necessarily changing, they're interpreting the facts differently.
Right.
Right or wrong, but that's what's happening.
Sure, yeah. And people's right to an abortion prior to this was established basically through the 9th and 14th Amendments. And the 9th basically saying, you know, that the government doesn't have rights, so the people have rights. And then 14th basically saying that you cannot deprive somebody of life, liberty, or property without due process. And the important word in there, okay, that people don't focus on is liberty. Okay.
Right.
And within liberty, a lot of your rights as a citizen come from just that, the Supreme Court's interpretation of that word liberty. Can a person be free in American society and not have control about the way they raise their children?
Right.
The Supreme Court has said in decision after decision that you cannot have liberty in this country without a law that protects your right to raise your children, okay, that you have that right, and that anybody that infringes on that right, it becomes unlawful because you're depriving them of their right to liberty in this country.
And that's why it's so, we've talked about it on Law Call and other things. We do family law specials, is that it is so difficult for, and the general population gets angry about it, but you see a bad mother, bad father, whatever, it is so difficult. Like that's I think the hardest thing in the law is to take away the rights of a parent for a child. Like you have to, it's got to be over the top.
Well,
that's the reason.
Yeah, the child has to be at risk in those situations.
It can't be just, hey, he's a bad mom, or she's a bad mom, he's a bad dad. You have to show.
Right.
You know, crazy amounts of evidence that the child's in danger. And the reason for that is exactly what you said, is that we're supposed to be living in a free society. And you might disagree with the way I raise my children. I might disagree with the way you would raise yours.
Yep.
But that doesn't really matter.
No.
And you can't come in and take it, and I can't come in and take it. But
there
still has to be that line. And that's where that gray area is.
And
this is what this whole
decision, this argument. Is. Right. Yep. And so, I mean, I'm of two minds about this in particular, but I want to just sort of round out a little bit more the idea of what that term liberty means and sure. some of the other decisions that are that have been sort of brought down to protect. So, like, for instance, interracial marriages. Okay, right. You have a right to marry who you want. Right. Okay, that's contained. Well, yeah, that was not the case. Yeah. It's one of my favorite cases. Loving sure. v. Virginia established that. Yeah, a white farmer in Virginia had a next door neighbor woman. They basically helped each other bring in crops for right. years and years. They grew up together, fell in love. They got married, and interracial marriage was illegal in Virginia at that right. time. And they basically banned them from Virginia.
Right.
And two guys, first year out of law school, brought that case all the really? Way, all I the way through the court that. Systems, and we argued it in front of the Supreme Court, and changed the law in America. There's a great right. documentary on it.
And that brings you not to go mm-hmm. on a tangent, but mm-hmm. it also brings up the fact that so when state law mm-hmm. is opposed to federal law, right. federal law wins.
That's right.
And so that's the same situation. If a state enacts a law that says, you know, you can't marry. Or you can't have interracial marriage, but the federal law says you can.
Right.
Federal law wins.
That's right. And so when you're thinking about federal law and state law, what you want to imagine is like an umbrella. And so that federal law basically provides an umbrella under which state law can operate.
Right.
And if state law tries to go and put their umbrella over federal law, right. that gets shut down.
That's right.
Okay. All it's right. A so, conflict. Like, you could, right. You can make things a little more restrictive. You can right. change gun laws, that type of thing. But when you start to infringe upon the provenance of the federal government, then you know that's the
provenance. Man, sorry. You're just a encyclopedia.
Sorry, no, man.
That's the wrong word. It's a dictionary, thesaurus.
Yeah, yeah.
Encyclopedia would be wrong. Yeah. But anyway, continue.
Well. medical decisions, another type of right or that the court has protected, the right to basically birth control. And a right. lot of these things, all the things I'm talking about, these decisions to marry, the decisions to how to raise your child, the right to sort of have autonomy over that and your sure. right to privacy with it. All those things kind of led up and pushed up against this decision about whether or not the government has a right to come in and say and interfere with a decision right. made between a doctor and the patient about what happens in a situation where the person doesn't want the pregnancy and wants right. to end the pregnancy. And so the reason why this is so contentious, of course, is because of the feelings people have about the actual act of it, and that ending a life, whether it's a heartbeat or a fetus or an actual human being or whatever you may believe, that is a very serious, consequential idea. And these are very difficult things to think about sure. when it comes to the law. But what the decision actually says is that when they're trying to interpret what liberty means, one of the things that they go to are the historical traditions of American society,
sure.
all right? And one of the things that Alito points to is he says that you have to look at when it was written to truly understand what was meant by the words, and sure. this is where it comes in, interpreting
yep.
what was in the actual statute, what was in the amendment. He looks at what was in the American tradition at the time of the writing of the amendment when it says, what is meant by liberty? And his opinion is that a right to an abortion was mm-hmm. not a part of the American tradition
right.
and historical sort of idea of what it means to be free and liberated. And I think that the actual fight is between whether it's like, do we have to say abortion, or is it, I have autonomy to make decisions about my health,
sure.
right? And if you're talking about that,
right.
I think that was in with you know, because if you can't search my papers,
right.
you definitely can't tell me what to do with my body.
Sure.
Right? You know,
it, so... And so to kind of break that down, I think what the justices are supposed to do, and I think they do a fairly good job, much more than I could, mm-hmm. and this is what you're saying, is you have to look at the language when the language was relevant,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So for the viewers, it mm-hmm. would be you know, I'm old. I got nothing. Mm-hmm. I'm not up to date with the sure. the new age words. But my son, for example, mm-hmm. he uses cap, no cap, right?
Cap.
So yeah cap and no cap.
Yeah.
So those words are different.
Sure.
Today mm-hmm. than they would be 10 years ago.
That's right.
For example.
Yeah.
So you have to look at language when the language was spoken.
Right.
And that because words change.
Yeah.
Literally, they've added now. Literally can be used as the exact opposite because people say I literally died, right?
Okay.
And so now Webster has changed
just because of how it's used.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So, but 20 years ago, if somebody said literally died, they go, "You're crazy. You didn't literally die. You're standing right here."
Yeah.
And so language changes. And the meaning of words changes. Or changes, so you have to go back to when what was meant by that word at that time,
mm-hmm.
and that's what is difficult for the Supreme Court justices.
Sure,
and it's difficult for us now to understand when they make a decision.
Yeah, and here's a part of the rub in that we have that they'll claim these guys are detached. These guys are not in touch.
Sure.
And to a degree, that's true.
Sure.
To be a Supreme Court justice, you have to be so steeped in the law and be so devoted to that understanding, in particular constitutional law, that you are beyond law professors. This is what you eat, sleep, breathe, and that's all you care about. And so these guys care a great deal about these issues of interpretation.
Sure.
And it really, really matters to them. And they do care exactly how it's going to sort of fall and how it's going to affect people. But what you need to remember as a citizen out there is that they're making these decisions based on what they believe to be their role within the government.
Right.
Okay.
And they may disagree with the ruling that they are actually
the result of it.
They are.
What's going to happen?
Right. They may disagree with it,
mm-hmm.
but it's one of those things where they, like you just said, you're kind of in this bubble where you're analyzing in the law. You have to analyze every word.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I know you're a very fast reader. You can read a novel in no time, but if you read a case, it's going to take some time because you have to read every single word, and because every word is very, very important.
Mm.
One single word can change everything.
Yep.
Everything.
Absolutely.
And we've talked about a little bit, like, you know, go back to the Bill Clinton impeachment with the everybody picked on him about the word is.
Mm.
That's not a terrible argument. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you think about that. If you break down every word in a 100-page document and you have to analyze every single word, there's going to be some different interpretations.
Absolutely.
And you're going every single word, and we have to go, hey, what was every single word? What did that mean in that time?
Yeah.
And so, and they might be right, they might be wrong.
I'm just saying
that's a difficult chore to do.
It is.
So what is your opinion on the leaked vote, I guess it would be.
Yeah. So I'm a little bit torn about the whole thing, okay, because of how much it puts in jeopardy. And I believe that it's probably legally and logically sound reasoning.
Sure.
But there are some ethical, moral issues that I find problematic. Yeah.
I'm before you finish. Justices do have that right to say they can not only interpret the language, but they have public policy. So that's another factor.
Sure.
So anyway, go ahead, please.
But I'm of the camp where I believe they should be, the abortion should be legal, but as rare as we can possibly make them. I think that there are
I wish I could disagree with you because I think the exact same thing. So, I wish we had like an ESPN fight going.
No,
my thoughts are very similar.
It's a very sad and difficult decision.
Absolutely, in either direction.
Yeah, in either direction. That's right. And if you have somebody that's flippantly making this decision and like, I'm into this and I don't care, I'm also of the opinion that that person probably doesn't need to be having children.
Right.
And so it may cost us. And maybe that person should have the child and that child should be adopted. And this is a difficult decision to make. Right. I mean, we're talking about ending lives, potential human lives. And so it's very, very difficult. But I think one of the things that the court is going to do here, and the I think it's interesting at the time at which it leaked, because there are a lot of state elections occurring right now in which we have a lot of Democratic voters that are not motivated at the moment.
Right.
And there's a lot of statewide elections that are occurring prior to June.
Sure.
And so people don't know this a lot, but you know, if you have statewide elections and you're all of one party, then you can redistrict a lot of the lines, and then what they
gerrymandering.
It's called gerrymandering. Right, yep. Right. So
see, redneck threw all the term for you.
Very good, very good. they draw the lines based on what will get their candidate elected.
Yep.
And if you can get a bunch of state appointed get a bunch of state people elected that in your party, they'll redraw the lines. They do it all the time.
Yep.
Then you can get whatever person you want, your party's elected to Congress. And so it motivated, I think it's going to motivate a lot of Democrats. But I mean, one of the things I think that this might need to do, and because it's going to throw into question, this is the problem with it, with the decision, it's going to throw into question whether or not you can write a law about a person's right to marry who you want to marry. Raise your child the way you want to. Right. Because there's nothing in the Constitution that says, hey, you can raise your child however you want.
Right.
You can marry whoever you want. Right. Not in the Constitution. Okay.
Right.
Those are rights that are basically imbued by the court. They're saying, hey, when we look at liberty and we look at that word and what it means,
mm-hmm.
you can't have liberty in the United States without having these particular rights.
Sure.
Right. And so up until this decision comes out, right? Making it a medical decision about whether or not to have aborting a fetus was one of those decisions where the court said, hey, you can't have liberty unless you can do this. And what the court is actually forcing, I think, the American people to do is ultimately decide, say, hey, we're going to have to vote enough people in
mm-hmm.
to make these changes, to actually change the Constitution and actually do a constitutional amendment that says, hey, these rights.
Sure.
Are ones you can infringe on.
Right.
And it might be time to do that so we can stop having these arguments.
And that is a very, very good point. And that leads to the and like I said, before I went to law school, I didn't understand anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
You know me, I'm all about the process. How does the process work? How mm-hmm. do we get from here to there? It's not so much the grits and gravy of it, mm-hmm. but what's the process?
Mm-hmm.
So in this situation, it just, what you're saying, like right now, abortion is legal because of a case,
mm-hmm.
not because of anything else.
Yeah, it's a right. Right?
It's a case.
Sure.
So if you make it not a case, mm-hmm. like because the laws are interpreted with cases.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's in the Constitution, they'll still be.
Yeah.
You can say you can drive a red car.
Yeah.
Right. And so then the Supreme Court has to decide. Well, is a darker shade of pink a red car,
mm-hmm.
is all these different fact specific, but their job is to interpret cases.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the law that makes the law
mm-hmm.
once that's fact specific.
Mm-hmm.
But if there is a constitutional right, that is the law. That is the law.
That's right. You can't infringe on it.
Right.
And so
until you have that, you're just going to have fight. It's just going to go back and forth forever.
Right.
Forever.
Yeah. And so, I mean, when we had the constitutional amendment abolishing slavery, there's no question.
Right.
About, right. So,
it's
so,
not
so
a case.
There's
it's
nobody, not a case. Exactly. Nobody's challenging that.
Right.
Right.
You can't say, hey, my facts are different than this guy's facts. Yeah.
And this is what's really frustrating about, for a lot of people about the, if you start looking at the actual bills that are passed in Congress and that are proposed,
mm-hmm.
It'll start out as like a 10-sentence bill where it says this person has the right to
skateboard on the side of the road.
Yeah,
how about that?
Yeah, yeah.
Just something simple.
Canoe down Main Street if there's a flood, right? Starts off with that 10 sentences. And then by about, I don't know, the 15th draft, right, it'll say that Boy Scouts of America in Wisconsin gets $2 billion set aside from, you know, this particular fund for right their whatever. People just try to plug in so, whatever so they want, I, and it's like special I, interest I, groups I'm, so they I'm can a, get reelected. Right.
I'm a politician's son, so I'll just say this is what I'm looking directly into the camera. This is what I hate about politics.
Yeah, okay.
Is because if I truly believe in something, let's say that I want kids to be able to skateboard on the sidewalk, right? Mm-hmm. And I propose that, and I got a bunch of people saying, yeah, let's let kids skateboard on the sidewalk. By the time it reaches where it needs to go, mm-hmm, it has 30 other things added to it. Mm-hmm. And then, let's say you're a congressman, a senator, mm-hmm, whatever, and you vote against it. Mm-hmm. The ad you see is, mm-hmm, Chase Hawk voted against
the skateboarders, the freedom of children
on the, yeah, on the sidewalk. Yeah. But it doesn't mention you were actually for that part, mm-hmm, but you weren't for the other 30 things that were added to it by the lobbyists that get it to the voting floor,
yep,
which is insane.
Yeah.
And so, but the snid bit, you know, the 7 second world we live in, mm-hmm, all you hear is Chase Hawk doesn't like kids, mm-hmm, on the sidewalk.
That's right.
Even though it meant giving $2 gajillion to, mm-hmm, Reed Sanders to retire on, you know.
Yeah, it's a difficult, messy thing, but it's part of the, one of the things I really love about the law, in that there's a lot of religious beliefs out there, you know, philosophies that people have, but when you want to come down to the basics of how people in a particular culture want to treat each other, sure, and what they consider to be fair, right, and just, you look at their laws and you judge people based on that,
right,
and you'll have a good idea of where the moral compass is for those people. And I think, honestly, that's one of the biggest things that we have in this country to sort of export. We talk about soft power. People want to be here in part because this is a place that, at the very least, based on the law, you're perceived to be equal. You're right, perceived to have rights that you can enforce. And it doesn't matter if you dig ditches, if you, you're a lawyer, you're a politician, you have rights. Whether you're a celebrity, which brings me to our next.
Oh, look at this. That is, man, you're getting a professional.
So Johnny Depp. All right. So my wife is going to shoot me unless we talk about Johnny Depp at some point. Okay. Johnny Depp has filed a defamation lawsuit against Amber Heard. Amber Heard is his ex-wife, who basically did an op-ed piece through the Washington Post.
Well, that's debatable, Chase. You're assuming facts, not in evidence.
No. She actually admitted it on the stand
that she wrote. That was part of the trial, but yeah.
Which was funny because her lawyers denied it.
Yeah.
That he had to prove that. She admitted it on the stand. So, she helped out the plaintiff in that in that particular case. She filed a counterclaim against Johnny Depp. But let's just start out with some of the elements in layman's terms for defamation.
So defamation happens a lot. It happens a lot in everyday society. But the problem is the damages aren't there. Mm-hmm. So defamation is essentially harming someone's career, someone's income, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the
An untrue statement.
Through an untrue statement. That's right. Correct. Yes. But the problem is damages. So if Chase calls me, you know, a son of a bitch, and everybody believes I'm a son of a bitch, I mean, it's probably not going to hurt my career that much, you know. Yeah, so, but if I lost out on
this contract,
bunch of cases, then I got some issues, and so,
well,
in their situation, you're talking about big money, right?
Yep.
You're talking about big money,
yeah.
And you're talking about millions on millions on millions of dollars that, you know, I'm not the juror, but potentially, he could have gotten without her having that false information.
That's
his claim, and so. When you talk about defamation, I hear it a lot. People come in and talk about it a lot, libel and defamation. It's just the problem with it is in
most
99%
cases.
Of the cases is that you can't show the damage.
Right.
So in this case,
it's
an extreme example, but it works well with the law and to show people like,
This is a viable defamation.
Now, might be wrong, he might be right, but you're talking about the damages are enough to say, hey, we got to bring this to court. If you lose $100, it's probably not worth going to court for.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
If you lose, you know, if you're a yard man and you lose one customer because this guy said some untrue things.
Right.
You're going to spend $5,000 in court, and you're going to end up getting $2,000.
Well, how much could you have earned with that one customer?
Right.
Yeah. We're going to start to hit pretty hard on your on this podcast. Is the basic idea of negligence, some of the elements that are required. When we talk about elements, we're talking about like the components that are required in order to make a claim.
So we have duty,
breach, causation, damages.
Right. And now, Chase, like you said, you listed four right there.
Right. You have a duty not to go around basically stating false information about people that are going to, you know, is going to harm their reputation.
Right.
You breached it by producing an op-ed, okay, if it's false, okay, and then if that op-ed actually caused or helped to cause, contributed to causing you losing lucrative contracts, then you have a valid claim for defamation. So
the problem, not with this case, but the problem in general is that I always call it the three-prong stool. Now, this one has four, but generally, in most cases, there's three prongs. If you have a stool that has three prongs, and one of them might be the strongest prong that you could ever have in the world, right? But if it doesn't have three prongs, the stool falls over.
Yep.
And so that's why this case is so interesting, is because you have all the prongs. Generally, you have people come in and say, well, this cost me X, Y, and Z.
Or this was false,
whatever it
they
is.
They said it.
But you're missing one of
the prongs.
The prongs, and it just doesn't work.
That's right.
And we hear that all the time. That goes back to, I could have died, you know. So it's the same type of situation. But this one's very interesting to me because everything's there.
Sure.
Now, I don't know what the jury's going to decide. I don't know. But all the elements are there.
That's right.
And I think people lose, at least the common people that I talk to in the office, they want to focus on one thing. It might be damages. It might be negligence.
Whether it's true or not.
Right.
Yeah, that's what most people are upset or talking about with them.
Hey, I want to do this because, you know, I feel wronged. It's principle.
Sure.
Principle will make a lawyer go bankrupt.
Yeah.
You have to have all the prongs.
Unless you're Johnny Depp.
Unless you're Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp, he can do that. He can pay some legal bills.
Yeah. But I think that is a not misconception, but something that's not understood in the general public is that you have to meet every point.
That's right.
Because one point is like crazy strong.
Yeah.
Like at 1,000%, that doesn't cover up the other factors.
It's like, for instance, if you can prove that it's false and prove that they said it, okay, that they knew it was false when they made it, right? You can prove all that. And you lost a contract on this date, right? But you can't prove that person who denied you the contract knew about that statement.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You lack causation. So you have to have duty, breach, causation, and then the damages. So in that situation, unless you can prove that person knew and that person made that decision based on the false information. So for instance, like in this Johnny Depp trial, one of the people that testified was Johnny Depp's business manager and agent.
Right.
And when it came to the Pirates of the Caribbean, let's just say the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise. And the, what was it? The Harry Potter, what's her name? The author, D'Angelo, J.K. Rowling.
J.K. Rowling, yep.
It was the Fantastic Beasts. He had that franchise as well, and he lost both of those contracts, according to his agent, based on the accusations that were made by Amber Heard and that were sort of chronicled in this particular article.
The testimony essentially was like, in the industry, he was a leopard. He couldn't get a job.
Couldn't be touched.
She couldn't be touched because it was in the middle of the Me Too movement.
That's right.
And she's making allegations against him. And anything he says, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Because he's already lost it. And now once you lose that opportunity, in different jobs,
yeah.
They're just...
They can come back.
But these are gone.
forever.
These are gone forever.
Absolutely. Another actor's already played that role. Right. And so, yeah, it's a real problem, but it has actually helped us to establish an opportunity to talk about the importance of having experienced trial lawyers. And so I want to talk about, all right, so there's a distinct difference that lay people have recognized between the trial lawyers on the side of Amber Heard and the trial lawyers on the side of Johnny Depp. And I have been impressed so far very much with Johnny Depp's attorneys. And for instance, like
they've been
the
great.
Fact that they chose Virginia. All right, Virginia is very unique in that they actually televise their trials.
Right.
Okay. So they don't have any restrictions on that. Okay.
When it's televised, mm-hmm. everybody. So when you see, and Amber Heard lawyers are not lying, right?
No.
They're not lying. They are saying what their client has told them.
And they're presenting their client's best case,
right.
And that's their job.
But sometimes they don't know that it's wrong because all they know is what the client's told them.
Exactly. But what I want to highlight here is the importance of having a good lawyer to start out with. So we're talking about guys that analyze this, and what they recognize is that Virginia was a state that televised this. They looked at what their client's
smart decision.
Right. Their client's goal was to clear his name. Number one.
And
above the money.
The client is.
That's right.
That's important.
Right. And they wanted to clear his name, okay? And they don't have anti-slap laws. A slap lawsuit is basically a lawsuit where a person that's rich can basically start a lawsuit just to shut you up.
Right.
Right? They can sue you into submission just because you can't hire somebody to represent you for free. They can afford to hire you to sue you into being quiet. And Virginia didn't have any of those anti-slap laws. And so that helps them to, if in the event it's shown that Amber's successful in defending this case, that it's not going to have huge detrimental effects to Johnny. And so we had a situation where like all of the goals for Johnny are met in just actually filing the lawsuit, that he gets to present his side, that the public gets to hear it, that he's not exposed to overburdensome sort of like sort of anti-slap laws that could come in and hurt him if a jury goes the other way.
Sure.
And they did it in a very sort of ingenious way in that the Washington Post servers from which the publication of the op-ed were issued were contained in Virginia. That's the only basis for it being housed there. And so venue, in many cases, is something a plaintiff can select, and they selected it very well. And the fact that a firm took that much care and time in selecting an actual venue kind of shows you the level of preparation that they started out the case with, and that's a good indicator.
And this is going back to the beginning of the podcast. This is the difference between federal and state law.
Mm.
Federal gives you the umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
Then state law has different actions. So they chose correctly because even if they lose, when I say they, I mean Johnny Depp's crew.
Yeah.
Even if they lose, they've still won.
Yeah.
Because they don't really care about, she's not going to pay the money.
No.
She's not
likely.
I don't care what they award.
Yeah.
She's going to file bankruptcy and have it in some LLC.
Right.
He's not going to see a dime of it. But he has done what, Johnny Depp has done what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
Which is to show the general population.
Yeah.
This girl's not truthful.
Yeah, I might like to play the guitar. I might be a little bit strange.
Right.
I might like to do drugs on occasion or whatever. Right. But I have never hurt anybody in my life. And that's what he wanted to
do.
That's what his lawyers, and that's what people need to understand about the law, is that lawyers are like captains of a ship.
Yeah.
Okay? You tell us where you want to go.
Sure.
We'll drive the ship. But you're in control of where it goes. And in this instance, that's what he's doing.
Essentially, what's your
goal?
We ask this all the time.
Yeah, what's your goal?
What's your true outcome?
Yeah, what's your goal?
What do you want?
Yeah.
Now, if you want retribution, if you whatever it is, so you got to have the goal before you know how to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Chase, I saw one clip that I want to ask you about. Amber Heard was on the stand and she mentioned something about Kate Moss, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Johnny Depp's attorneys were really excited about it.
Yeah.
And Amber Heard's attorney was like very upset about it.
Yes.
Why is that?
Okay. So what Amber Heard did was she brought up a past event that basically showed or was an attempt to show that Johnny had a particular type of character. And typically, character evidence of that nature where you've acted in conformity with what you're alleging, when I say acted within conformity, is like if someone says, hey, he's aggressive and he beat me, and you point to other events in their life before that, typically that is inadmissible in court, right? And
could not be brought in.
It could not be brought in at all. Right.
Can't mention it. Can't talk about it.
Right. But what she did is what we commonly refer to as opening the door. And
so let me stop you.
Yeah, sure.
So Johnny Depp's people would want to bring this stuff in.
Yes.
And it would not be allowed in unless.
Unless she brought it up. So Amber Heard has had allegedly attacked her former lovers and other situations. In situations like this, the fact that she brought this up and she opened up past character evidence, well, now it means that it can be brought up against her. So all the past accusations about her being actually violent can be brought up, and Johnny Depp's past accusations can now be brought up, even ones in which the witnesses like Kate Moss have said never happened. And right. So what I anticipate is that Johnny Depp's team is going to bring up Kate Moss, and Kate Moss is going to say, that never happened. That was alleged. It was a BS thing brought up by somebody. Yeah, exactly. And so that's going to undermine the credibility of Heard. And this is all about credibility, because there's nobody that was there except those two.
And they're going to get to bring in, and I don't know the history, but I know she has history of some kind of abuse with other relationships. Right, and they're going to be able to bring all that in. All that stuff was excluded until she said those words.
That's right. And that's why you saw The fist pump.
Yeah. and you also saw, I can't remember her name, but the lady attorney for Amber Heard just shake her head.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
She knew.
Yeah,
they've been it's about to be cross on Amber Heard, and it's all coming.
Yeah, it's gonna be a little rough. That brings me to another point, because there have been some missteps by Amber Heard's attorneys.
Let me say this. So I'm agreeing with you.
Okay.
But I want to take up for them a little bit, right?
By all means.
All right. So, and you can clarify. He's being the guy attorney for Amber Heard.
Mr. Rottenborn.
Okay, I don't know the name. I don't remember names. But he objected to an answer that Johnny Depp
questioned.
And everybody's picking on him, and I get that. I pick on him too. Mm-hmm. But that's not completely wrong.
No.
Right? Now, how would you handle that as a trial? Now, he did it wrong as a trial attorney, but how would you handle that as a trial attorney?
First of all, I would not have asked a question that I could foresee the person would have basically talked about something else somebody said. I would have framed my question a little bit differently, number one. Number two, as soon as I heard the words he said or somebody told me, I would have asked the judge in that point, said, Your Honor, I would have interrupted him.
Right.
And I would have said, I would have controlled the witness. Right. And I would have said, Your Honor, I wanted you to instruct the witness not to talk about what other people told him.
Right.
Okay.
So right on what he said about hearsay.
It was hearsay.
It made him look like a fool that he objected to his own question. But
that's right.
Yeah. He was right on what he said.
That's right.
Just not the way he did it.
Right. And unfortunately, that's a hallmark that we're seeing quite a bit, in that we have lawyers that don't have as much experience. We try to go to trial as much as we possibly can to actually get this experience. Hiring out of the prosecutor's office, public defender's office is great, just because a lot of those cases go to trial. We can only go to trial if our clients allow. And so having that experience to know exactly what to do in the moment while you're nervous.
He panicked.
Yeah, he panicked a little bit, but he wanted to keep that information out. But what it had the effect of doing was helping to create the impression that what he said was important. And so the jury heard that. And so that was a misstep.
Big misstep.
Yeah, and so this is why a case like this is not the case to cut your teeth on.
Right.
And you need to be well-versed, ready to go, experienced when you have a case like this. But at the same time, like I said, these guys they have a difficult case. They're presenting a difficult case. They have apparently a difficult client. They have difficult facts.
Right.
And so, I mean, my heart is with them.
I agree. They have a very, very difficult job.
Yeah. And so, as much as I criticize them, I just want to, I am going to criticize some of the things that they do.
Sure.
But I'm using it to sort of teach as much as I can. There was a particular witness, okay, that through the questioning, okay, this is Johnny Depp's, an artist that Johnny Depp sort of patronized. His name, I think his name's Isaac. I can't remember his last name. He provided him an apartment.
Right.
Okay. He said, hey, I just want you to paint, okay, because I like your artwork. And paid for his living expenses for years. Right. And she asked him a series of questions. And she had established thoroughly that this guy was in Johnny Depp's pocket.
Right.
Right. But she did the made the ultimate mistake, okay, of asking the final question. All right. And when I say she the final question, she went too far. She asked him to confirm the argument that she should have made at closing.
Right.
Okay. And this is a cautionary tale for all you attorneys out there. If your main point, when you write down your goals for a cross-examination,
you better.
To start out with him, I would have said, this is his friend. He is angry at Amber because Amber hurt his friend and is trying to hurt his friend. And he's putting him in a financial strain. Who is the financial, the beneficiary of it? Me, right? I want to establish that, right?
And essentially what you're doing is making that witness lose credibility.
Exactly. You can't believe this person because they're biased terribly.
And they might not be trying to lie.
That's right.
But they just, like, you know, if I'm testifying for you, I'm going to be biased.
Right.
We're friends.
Right.
I'm just going to be biased. I can't help it.
Yeah. And I want to play for you, if I can, D'Angelo. You play that clip of Isaac, Johnny Depp's friend and the painter that was living in his studio, to show you sort of what happens when you overstep and ask the sort of final question.
He's given you $100,000. He's put you in that nice...
I'm sorry. I didn't hear the whole question. Can you say it again?
You were rent-free in penthouses for a number of years, and now you've been rent-free ever since in suites, sir?
What's important is to recognize that this guy's been on the stand for about an hour, and he's been telling jokes, the jury's laughing, right. The gallery's
He's made friends with them.
Absolutely, you know? And so people like this guy, right? Yep. And so you have to pay attention to that as an attorney, and she's not doing that.
No, she's when the jury likes somebody and you're coming at them, you better be careful.
That's a nice friend.
Yeah, okay. And I think you testified already, you're pretty angry with Ms. Hurd, right?
When?
I wrote it down that you
about all the phony, about the phony pitches that would...
All right.
Oh, yep, that's rough.
So there's the question, right?
Wow.
All right. So he's about to do it to her. He's about to give her exactly what she asked for, right? But that's the argument. The argument is that he's angry with her.
Right.
Okay. That is what you make. That's the argument you make in closing.
Right.
Okay. So she's established that he's, beholden to Johnny.
Sure.
That he likes Johnny. Sure. That they're friends. Yep. That he owes him. But what he's about to do to her, because she gave him the opportunity by asking, aren't you mad at him?
Right.
Right.
That's a dumb question.
Wow.
Nobody. It is. It's a bad question.
It's because it can be inferred.
You can say any, and it's subjective. That's a bad question.
Yep.
That were taken and put in tabloids, and about the fake narrative and the way she's trying to get a fraudulent DV claim.
Yeah, so exactly.
That's bad.
Yeah, he's making a closing argument for her. Well, right,
the problem is that the attorney, you have to allow the witness to explain their answer. And she made a claim, essentially, even though she was saying, aren't you? She was trying to lead him into something, and he was smart enough to go, well, I'm going to tell you why.
Exactly.
And that's... Death.
Right. And so here's the thing is, I bet you she had that question written down on a checklist.
Right.
Right. But everything that occurred before this,
right.
Okay, if you watch this, all right, he is thoughtful. He is careful. He is charming.
Right.
And she should have anticipated this is not the witness.
You can't ask that question.
Exactly, that I give this opportunity to. And so you have to, in a lot of situations, shoot from the hip, make a decision on the fly. And if I have a jury, a person that's this favorable to Johnny Depp, I establish, one, that he is beholden to Johnny Depp.
That's it.
Financially beholden to him. She hurt his finances.
That's it.
And that's it. And get him off of there.
You cannot do that. That's a terrible mistake.
Yeah.
When you open the door like that to someone the jury already likes, and so what the Amber Heard attorney is trying to do is make this guy lose credibility.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
she just made him gain credibility.
Absolutely.
She did the exact opposite. Yeah. You can't ask that question. That's terrible.
Yeah, and the worst part is he's not done.
To extort and blackmail a man, that kind of got me
pretty
frustrated,
angry,
confused, angry, upset. Yes, which is why I said the best thing for us to do is not to talk to each other.
He just improved his credibility by the way he answered, not what he said, but the calmness. He wasn't angry, because what the Amber Heard attorney wants is outrage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I don't like this.
Screw that guy.
Yeah. Screw this her. Woman. Screw her. Yeah. He goes, no. Yeah. I'm not. His body language,
because this ain't right.
Right. But body language I'm not mad right now. I'm mad at what caused me to be here, and I'm speaking very calmly, I'm speaking very intelligently, and I'm telling you what happened.
Yeah.
And you just lost everything as the Amber Heard attorney. That was a terrible question.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, she doubles down.
Oh, we got more?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Was it fair to say you're still angry with her?
Oh, you know something? It's 6 years.
But we just heard you give your version.
Am I angry anymore? I'm not, you know, what I am is tired.
Okay. So, all right. Boom. So he might as well be a jury member there. Okay. So is he angry? The jury's not angry. He's not angry anymore.
The jury doesn't want to be there.
They don't want to. Exactly. And so when he said that, so like now all of her momentum that she built with, hey, this person has it out for her, is gone. He's like, this is 6 years. I've moved on.
Right.
But this, and then.
And y'all are dragging me. Y'all are dragging me back in here.
But watch what he does to her neck. Man, it gets worse.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. Like I said, this might well be the closing.
And I want this all to end. Her to go heal, him to go heal. You know, so many people have been affected by this malicious lie that she started and she created.
Wow.
Boom.
Wow.
Man.
When you show sympathy
for the
person that you're... essentially, he's being accused of taking
being
out...
Being
one-sided. And taking out against this... I have motive to hurt this person.
Sure.
And when you have sympathy for that person...
I want her to heal.
I want her to be fine, too. I want everybody... That is cement.
Yeah.
That is not wishy-washy.
Yeah, jury's going to remember this guy.
Oh, my goodness. That is not great.
I can't even paint anymore. I've stopped painting for the last who knows how many years, and that's affected by stuff. I'm not angry at anybody.
There's nothing more important than being sort of real on the stand for a witness, right? And he's gotten to a point where he's been on the stand for a long time. He's been charming. He's been kind. He's been a lot of things.
And you can fake it on the stand for a while, but you just get worn out, and then you just are yourself.
Right.
And the jury's just seeing this is who this guy is.
Right, man. And a lot of times you'll get a witness on the stand, and you'll ask them inane questions. Where you live, how long you been there, because you can see they're not being themselves.
Right.
And you're trying, and please, if you're on a jury that I'm on and I'm asking questions about where they live and how long they live there and where they work, and they don't have anything to do with what we're talking about, that person is terribly, terribly nervous. They're not comfortable on the stand, and they don't know that they're not coming across as genuine.
You're just trying to get them to talk.
Right. So I'm asking them questions they know, so I'm getting them comfortable or whatever.
Right.
This guy is comfortable,
right.
has been comfortable, is making jokes, making friends up there, right? And now he's getting to the point where he is sick of answering these questions. Right, exactly. And he lets her have it.
I want the best for her to take her responsibility, heal, and move on. And for Johnny, you know, it's, his family has been completely wrecked.
So he starts talking about his family, and that's pulling in sympathy for Johnny. Now watch him here. Go ahead and play it again now, and watch him. He gets emotional here.
It's not fair. It's not right. What she did and what happened.
Okay, so that's it.
That's it.
That is a grown man that's seen a lot.
Well, and he is
so emotionally moved.
He comes across as a tough guy too.
Yeah,
like a guy that's
yeah.
I know he's an artist and all that, but he's got the New York accent, the tough guy,
and he's up there in this tough position,
right? And he's just
telling it like it is.
Oh man, that's
right, and he's getting emotional about what has happened to his friend and what he's seen it do to his family and stuff like that.
But it came across that he's friends with her.
Yeah. That he wants the best for her.
He wants to be friends with her. He was friends with her. Mm-hmm. This is a bad situation, mm-hmm. and he still wants the best for her.
Right.
And all I'm telling you is the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I see.
Yeah, and so this is a cautionary tale for all of those attorneys out there that ask the ultimate question, and I would advise you to go on YouTube because it's out there. Irvin Younger, his 10 commandments for cross-examination. Do not ask the final question. Right. Use that for summation. In this situation, the woman asked the final question twice. Okay. She wanted to make the point that he had a bone to pick with her, that he's biased, and that's why you can't believe him.
Right.
And she asked him that question, and he took that bone and beat her over the head with it.
And gave him the opportunity to not say yes or no.
Yeah, yeah.
Gave him the opportunity to say all these other things that weren't asked. Mm-hmm. Other questions that weren't asked. Yeah. Oh, that's brutal. That's a bad, bad mistake by the Amber Heard defense.
Yeah, and like I said, my heart goes out to them. I know they have a difficult case to defend, but
you can't ask that question right there.
No, you
just can't.
No, that's a difficult one. If you are tuning into the Amber Heard trials and you want to hear sort of more about that, please sort of leave your comments below, and we will address some of your questions that you have about the trial. If you want us to analyze a particular part of the questioning or a particular witness, be happy to do that too. We've been following the trial and continue to do that as it starts up again next week.
There's a lot of questions that people will say, well, why would they ask that? Or why would they say, like the objection thing? There are reasons. You know, people always pick on attorneys about asking dumb questions, but sometimes you have to.
Yep.
Sometimes you have to. So we can certainly explain why that's asked.
It
might not have worked, but you can say, well, you know, this is the reason they asked that.
Sure. Well, with that,
Good Friday, buddy.
Yeah, we look forward to Amber Heard's testimony starting next week.
That one's going to be exciting.
This is the cross examination.
Yeah, she's going to get destroyed on cross. It's going to be rough.
Yeah. Well.
Well, I look forward to that next podcast on the cross. Because that's going to be explosive for attorneys.
Yeah, absolutely.
For attorneys.
Absolutely.
So cheers, brother.
Happy Friday, brother.
Happy Friday. Mm-hmm.